Now, even more important than the feeling of clarity is the understanding that you are moving forward in creating. When you consider many things at the same time, generally you move forward not strongly toward any of them, for your focus and your power is diffused. Whereas as you are focusing upon that which is most important in any point in time, you move forward more powerfully toward that. From our perspective, the point at which you now stand, the point from which you are now perceiving, that you are now conscious that you are now perceiving, that point is a segment. Your day may be divided into many segments, and there are not two of you who would have precisely the same segments. On one day, your segments may be different from the next, and all of that is fine. It is not necessary to have a rigid schedule of segments. What is important is that you identify when you are moving from one segment to another, from one set of intentions to another. For example, when you wake up in the morning, you are now entering a new segment. That time that you are awake before you get out of bed is a segment. That time that you are preparing yourself for your next activity, that is a segment. As you move into your time for work, that is a segment. When you get into your automobile, the time from one place to another is a segment, and so on. As you realize that you are moving into a new segment of life experience, if you will pause for a moment and set forth aloud or in your own mind what you are most wanting as you are moving into that segment, you will begin by the powerful law of attraction to solicit thoughts, even circumstances and events, even conversation or action from others that will harmonize with your intent. If you do not take the time to recognize you are moving into a new segment and to identify what you are wanting, then it will be a segment like most others of confusion. Either you will be confused by the influence of your own old habits, even the thoughts that were happening in the segment before, or you may become swept up by the confusion or by the influence of the others who are involved in your segment. In either case, you do not have deliberate control of what you are attracting, of what you are creating in this segment. In every segment of your life experience, you are operating on many levels. There are those things that you are doing in the segment. Doing is powerful creating. There are those things that you are speaking about in the segment, and speaking is powerful creating. And there are those things that you are thinking in the segment, and thinking is powerful creating. And within each segment, you may be considering what is happening in your present. You may be considering what has already happened in your past, or you may be considering what is to happen in your future. When you are thinking about your future, you begin, by law of attraction, the attracting of that which you are wanting for your future. It will not come into your present, for your present has not been prepared for it. But it will begin motion forward. And as you are moving forward toward that future place, so are the events and circumstances that you have given thought to. That process is what we refer to as pre-paving. In your present, you give thought to your future, so that when you get to that future time, that future has been pre-paved or prepared for you, by you. Much that you are experiencing today is as a result of the thoughts of today, yesterday, and the day before, and the year before, and the year before. Every thought that you think that is directed toward what you are wanting for your future is of great benefit to you. Every thought that you are thinking that you do not want about your future is of disadvantage to you. as you think of vitality and health and are wanting it and expecting it in your future, you are pre-paving and preparing that for yourself. But as you fear or worry about cancer, you are also preparing or pre-paving that for your future. Segment intending will assist you whether you are in your now thinking about your now or whether you are in your now thinking about your future. For in either case, you will be deliberate in your creating. And that is the point of the segment intending. Whether you are specifically intending something to do or say in this moment, or whether you are pre-paving in your future in this moment, it is of great value to you to do it on purpose. When you get into your automobile, if you will set forth your deliberate intent for safety on this journey, you will literally attract the circumstances that will bring it about. Now, of course, if you have intended that as you were beginning many journeys, if in your past, as you viewed your future, you wanted and expected safety, then those intentions set forth in advance have already begun to prepave your future, and your segment intending now is adding unto that intent, strengthening it indeed. There are those circumstances where you have not prepaved, and if you have not prepaved and you do not intend in this segment either, then you are absolutely living life by default. And the likelihood of being swept up in the confusion of someone else is very great. Two beings who are in two separate vehicles, arriving at the same point at the same time, having a very great and loud collision, are two beings who have not intended safety. They are living life by default. And they find themselves, in their confusion, attracting one another, you see. As you are wanting and expecting to receive the subject of your intent, it will be. But if you do not take the time to establish what it is that you want, then you are attracting, by influence of others or by influence of your own old habits, all sorts of things that you may or may not want. We agree there are some things that you attract accidentally or by default that you like, just as there are some things that you attract not intentionally or by default that you do not want. But there is not much satisfaction in that sort of attraction. Now, this is the key to your deliberate creating. See yourself as a magnet, attracting unto you the way you feel at any point in time. When you feel clear and in control, you will attract circumstances of clarity. When you feel happy, you will attract circumstances of happiness. When you feel healthy, you will attract circumstances of health. When you feel prosperous, you will attract circumstances of prosperity. When you feel loved, you will attract circumstances of love. Literally, the way you feel is your point of attraction. And so the value of segment intending is to pause many times during a day to say, this is what I want from this period of my life experience. I want it and I expect it. And as you set forth those powerful words, you become what we call a selective sifter. You attract into your experience what you want. You see, the universe, indeed the very world in which you live, is filled with all sorts of things. There are things that you like very much, just as there are things that you do not like very much. But all of it, that which you like and that which you do not like, comes to you only by your invitation in thought. And so if you are taking time many times in a day to identify what it is that you want and to set forth your statement of desire and expectation, do you not see the power of magnetic attraction that you have control over? No more will you be the victim, there is not really that, but no more will you be the indeliberate attractor or the default attractor. Once you begin to segment your day, to identify many times in the day what it is you are wanting, now you are deliberate attractor. And that is a joyful experience. The reason that segments are effective is because you are wanting to consider so many things. And when you try to consider them all at the same time, you bring forth too many subjects. And by law of attraction, you become overwhelmed and confused. The value of the intending segment by segment is that you do not try to chew on so much at any one time. You say, what is it that I want now? For example, when your telephone rings, if you pick up the telephone and say, good morning, who is this? And when you hear who it is, you say, one moment, please. You say to yourself, what is it that I am most wanting to achieve in this conversation? I'm wanting to uplift the other. I'm wanting to be understood. I'm wanting the other to understand my seriousness, and I'm wanting the other to be influenced. I'm wanting the other to be stimulated, excited by my words. Indeed, I'm wanting this to be a successful conversation. When you come back on the line, you have prepaved, and that other will respond to you much more in accordance to your desire than if you did not take that time. When another has made the telephone call, they are knowing what they are wanting. They have called you. And you must take a moment to identify what you are wanting. Otherwise, by the power of their influence, they may achieve what they are wanting, but you may not. When you are reading a book, your intent for receptive thought is of value, while your intent for safety is not so important. When you are talking on the telephone, your intent to communicate clearly is important. While you are reading the book by yourself, communication is not important. If you are wanting many things all at the same time, it adds confusion. But when you focus upon the specifics of what you are wanting in any particular moment, you bring clarity and therefore power and therefore speed. And that is the point of the segment intending. To stop as you are entering in a new segment, to identify what it is you are most wanting so that you may give your attention and therefore draw power unto that. Some of you are focused during some segments of your day's experience, but there are very few of you who are focused much of your day. An identification of segments and an intent to identify what is most important within those segments will put you in the position of being a deliberate, magnetic attractor or creator in each of your segments throughout your day. Not only will you find that you are more productive, but you will find that you are happier. For as you are deliberately intending and then allowing and receiving, you will find great contentment. You are growth-seeking beings. And as you are moving forward, you are at your happiest. While you have that feeling of stagnation, you are not at your happiest. Here we are wanting to guide you through an example of a day where you may be intending as you are recognizing that you are moving into new segments. Let us say that you are beginning on this day, at the end of the day, before you are going to sleep, and you recognize that entering into sleep state will be a new segment of life experience. And so as you are lying there on the pillow, getting ready to go to sleep, set forth the intent of restful sleep. Set forth the intention for refreshing your physical apparatus. And imagine yourself awakening in the morning feeling refreshed. As you open your eyes in the morning, recognize that you have now entered into a new segment of life experience, and that time that you remain in bed until the time that you remove yourself from the bed is a segment. Set forth your intent for that time. While I am lying here, I am intending to have a clear picture of this day. I am intending to become exhilarated and excited about this day. And then as you are lying there in the bed, you will feel that refreshment and that exuberance for the day coming upon you. As you get out of bed, you have entered into a new segment of life experience. This may be the segment that you are preparing yourself for the day. And so as you are brushing your teeth and taking your bath or doing whatever it is you do in this segment, let your intent be as you enter into it to be efficient, to enjoy yourself, to have it be a time of upliftment and a time of preparing yourself for that which is to come. As you are preparing your breakfast, let your intent be to do it efficiently and to select that which is most nutritiously balanced for your physical apparatus at this point in time. Let your intent be that you will be replenished or refreshed by it, that you will enjoy it. And as you set forth this intention, you will notice that as you are eating, you are feeling yourself more rejuvenated, more replenished, more refreshed, and you will enjoy the food more than if you had not set forth that intent to do so. As the telephone rings, recognize that you are now about to enter into a new segment, and as you pick up the telephone, identify who it is and then set forth clearly your intent before you begin speaking. As you get into your automobile, as you are traveling to your place of work or whatever it is you are doing, let your intent be to travel from one place to another in safety, to feel invigorated and happy as you are moving forth, to be aware of what the other drivers are intending or not intending, that you may move through traffic in a sort of flow, safe and efficient. When you get out of your automobile, you have now entered into a new segment. And so pause for a moment and imagine yourself walking from where you are to where you are intending to go, seeing yourself feeling good as you walk, intending that you will move efficiently and safely from point to point, intending to feel the vitality of your apparatus, intending to feel the clarity of your thinking mechanism, setting forth your vision or your intention for the next segment in which you are about to enter, imagining your greeting of the secretary or of the employees or employer, seeing yourself as one who uplifts the others, having a smile ready, recognizing that everyone you meet is not deliberate in their intending, but knowing that by your deliberate intending, you will be in control of your life experience, and you will not be swept up by their confusion or by their intent or influence. As you are moving through such a day, you will feel the power and the momentum of your intentions building. You will find yourself feeling gloriously invincible. You will feel as if there is nothing that you cannot be or do or have, as you are seeing yourself again and again in creative control of your own life experience. Of course, your segments will not be just as we have offered, and they will not be the same from day to day. In the beginning, you will find that you are not so quick to identify your segments as you will be after you have done it for a while. For some, you may find it more efficient and more effective to carry a small notebook and physically stop to identify the segment while you write a list of your intentions in your notebook. As you are writing, you will find yourself at your strongest point of clarity, at your strongest point of focus. And so in the beginning of this deliberate segment intending, you may find the notebook a very great and valuable asset. You have gathered some questions for us upon this topic of segment intending, have you not?
Yes, a number that people have asked over a period of time. First, segment intending appears to me to be a series of small goals intended and achieved. But is there a basic goal for our physical life?
There is. And just as segment intending is the intent that is closest to this moment in which you are now living, your intent as you emerged into physical expression is on the other end of that, so to speak.
Right.
In other words, here you are now intending what you are most wanting from this moment. And yet this moment is affected by thoughts you have had about this moment even before your physical birth into this physical body. As you emerged into this physical body from that inner, broader perspective, you did have intentions, indeed. But your intentions from this physical conscious perspective are dominant now. You are not a puppet acting out that which you've intended before. You have the choice in every moment to decide what is most appropriate from your ever-evolving perspective, you see. You have grown beyond that which you were as you emerged into this body, for this life experience has added unto that perspective.
So, since I don't consciously know what that individual goal was, would there be anything more important as a goal than a goal just to be happy?
You have hit upon the way that you know what it is you have intended as you have come forth from inner perspective. In other words, you said, since I do not consciously know what those goals are. Mm-hmm. The reason you do not consciously know what the specific goals are is because there were no specific goals. You had general intentions, such as being happy, such as being uplifter, such as having continuing growth. But the specific processes or vehicles in which you will achieve any of those things is up to you to decide here and now. In this time, you are creator, you see.
Let's take the one that you mentioned, growth. How can we recognize when we're having growth?
Since you are a growth-seeking being, you will have positive emotion when you are recognizing your growth, while you will have negative emotion when you are feeling that you have stagnation. You see, you do not have necessarily conscious recognition of the thoughts or intentions from your inner or broader perspective, but you do have communication. All physical beings have communication from that inner being in the form of emotion. And so as your emotion is positive, you are in harmony with those inner intentions.
And so what do you see from your non-physical perspective as a valid measure of our being successful at what we're doing here?
You have many ways of measuring success. In your society, dollars are a measure of success, and trophies are a measure of success. But from our perspective, the existence within you of positive emotion is your greatest measure of success.
So this process of segment intending not only speeds up our getting whatever we want, but then it's also a process of making this experience that we're having more pleasurable and more within our conscious control. Is that what it is?
It is absolutely more within your conscious control as you are consciously setting forth your intentions. The alternative is not making a decision about what you want, therefore in your confusion attracting a little bit of everything, and in attracting a little bit of everything there is some that you like and some that you do not like. The point of segment intending is that you will always be attracting that which you are deliberately wanting. No more creating by default. No more attracting what you do not want. You are right when you say it will speed the process, for it is clarity that speeds. You are physically creating as you move piles of dirt from one place to another or whatever it is you are doing.
Sure.
But you have not accessed the power of the universe unless you have brought forth emotion. When emotion is present, whether it is positive or negative, you have accessed the power of the universe. When you really, really want something, it comes to you very fast. When you really, really don't want something, it comes to you very fast. The idea of segment intending is to set forth your thoughts of what you want, focusing upon it clearly enough in this moment that the clarity brings the speed.
Let me clarify some terminology with you, please. Three different, I'll call them processes. One you call segment intending, one you call having a workshop, and one you speak of sometimes in the terms of other people's words, they call it meditation. Would you clarify what the differences are and the purposes are of those three experiences?
Each of the three that you have offered have different intentions. And so your question fits in perfectly with our subject of segment intending, for as you were about to enter into either of these three processes, it is a good idea to know why you are entering in and what you are expecting from. A time of meditation, by your terms, is a segment in which you are intending to quiet your conscious thinking mechanism in order to sense the inner world. It is a time of physical distraction or detachment from physical that you may sense that which goes beyond the physical. There are different reasons for this detachment, and it is important that as you are entering this segment that you identify what your reason is. Your reason in this segment of meditation may be that you are simply wanting a detachment from the world that is confusing or troubling you. You are wanting some time of refreshment. When we encourage meditation, it is with the intent of allowing the opening of your passageway, that you may blend the inner you that exists in the inner dimension with the conscious physical you that is here in this physical body. In short, it is withdrawing your focus from the physical conscious world and allowing your focus to drift into the inner world. A workshop is a segment where you are intending to give specific and precise thought to the details of what you are wanting, to bring forth, by law of attraction, clarity. In other words, you are wanting to ponder with such specificness that you bring forth the power of the universe to speed your creation. The workshop is the time in which you give such clear thought that you literally launch your creation. In this physical world in which you live, you cannot have the physical experience until you have created it first in thought. And so the workshop is that place where you give deliberate thought, that you begin the deliberate attraction of the thing or things that you want. Segment intending is simply recognizing that you are moving into a segment where what you are intending is different from the last, and stopping to identify what you are wanting. Through all of this, what we are wanting you to understand is how it is you may be the deliberate creator or the deliberate attractor or the deliberate inviter of that which comes into your experience. There are two major hindrances to that. One is influence of others who may have different intentions than you do, and the other is the influence of your own old habits. Even the influence of the momentum of the segment that is just before this segment, you see. And so segment intending is the recognizing that this is a different segment, so that you may set forth now your intent of what you are wanting.
I've heard you say or suggest that we get happy before we begin intending. Could you give us some different ways of consciously generating joy or bringing forth positive emotion?
Before we do, we are wanting to point out the great value in being happy before you are setting forth your intent. You are understanding the law of attraction, for we have mentioned it here. You are magnets, and the way you feel is your point of attraction. And so if you are feeling unhappy, if you are giving thought to that which you are not wanting, which is what is bringing forth the unhappiness, then you are a magnet attracting more of that. And so there is great value in being happy, for only from the point of being happy can you attract that which you are wanting. Each of you will find a different way of going about it, and each of you know what brings you that feeling of upliftment or happiness. For many of you, it is music that is in harmony with you. And you may have noticed that that music makes you happy in the beginning, but in time it does not make you so happy. And so it is of value to look for many ways so that you may try that fresh, new approach to bringing forth that feeling of happiness. For some, it is reading a passage in a book. For some, it is calling a friend who is uplifting. There are many ways of doing it. Take notice of that which uplifts you and remember it. And then when you are specifically wanting to be uplifted, do that.
Mm-hmm. Good. You've also said that we can be happy under most conditions. But how is that accomplished under extremely negative conditions?
You can be happy only under the condition of giving thought to what you are wanting. You can be happy under all conditions once you are clear enough and strong enough in your wanting to give your attention only to what you are wanting.
So what if there's somebody that's very close to you, that's giving you, you might say, a hard time about something, and you're wanting to please them? So in other words, it gives you a feeling of guilt to not do what they're wanting.
It is true. It is more difficult to remain happy or positive when you are surrounded by others who are not, or when you are surrounded or involved with those who are wanting something different from you than you are wanting to give to them. But what we have noticed as we have been interacting with physical man is that while he may have an experience that lasts 5 or 10 minutes, and while that experience may be unpleasant and uncomfortable, the majority of his negative emotion comes forth not during the time of that negative experience, but in all the hours that he ponders and chews upon it after the experience. There is much more of your time spent in thought of what happened than in the actuality of what is happening. The majority of your negative emotion could be eliminated if you would focus upon what you are wanting to think about when you are alone. And in those briefer encounters, in that smaller part of your life experience where you are actually being harassed by another, you will grow stronger in your ability to not notice the harassment so much.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a situation in which a person is truly wanting to have a feeling of an orderly progression forward, but their intentions are quite often diverted by what I'd call unplanned interruptions. What sort of segment intention would you suggest?
Of course, as the segment intending becomes more defined and as you get better at it, you will have far fewer interruptions. You have been encouraging the interruptions because of your lack of segment intending in the past. As you begin your day envisioning free-flowing, smooth-flowing life experience, you have eliminated some of those interruptions already. And for those interruptions that come forth, you will deal with those segment by segment, simply by saying at the beginning of the interruption, "This will be brief, and I will not lose my train of thought. I will not lose the momentum that I have set forth. I will deal with this quickly and efficiently and get on with what I was doing."
Good. I've said through the years, I wish that I were a lot more of me so I could experience all the things that I want to experience in time. Is there a way that we can use segment intending so we can have more experiences, so we can do more of the things we're wanting to do?
You will find as you become efficient at your segment intending that you will have many more hours in your day to do those things you are wanting to do. Many of the things that you are wanting to do have not been coming forth to you because you have not given clarity of thought to them and thereby attracted them.
Right.
And so the segment intending itself will give you that which you are seeking in this question.
Since we have the choice of creating what we want either on purpose or creating by default, why does it seems like the majority of people choose by default?
Because they do not understand the laws. They really do not understand that they have the choices. They have been assuming that things are one way when really they are not that way. They have come to believe in fate or in luck. They say, "This is reality. This is just the way it is." They are not understanding that they have control of their experience through thought. It is like playing a game where you do not know the rules, and soon you grow tired of the game because you have no control in it. It is of great value for you to give your conscious attention to what you are wanting. Otherwise, you will be swept up by the influence of that which surrounds you. You are bombarded by stimulation of thought. And unless you are setting forth the thought that is important to you, you will receive a thought that may or may not be important to you. If you are not knowing what you want, then it is good for you to set forth the intent, "I want to know what I want." And as you set forth that desire, you will begin attracting data. You will begin attracting opportunity. You will begin attracting many things to select from. And you will get a better idea of what you are wanting by the steady parade of ideas that will flow to you.
Now, the person that doesn't even say, "I want to know what I want," but just says, "As far as I know, I don't want anything. I don't have any wants or feelings. I'm all there in some kind of a flat or might say listless state." Would you say anything to them?
We would say wanting is the beginning of all deliberate creating. And so if you refuse to allow yourself to want, then you are really refusing the deliberate control of your life experience. You are physical beings indeed, But there is a life force or an energy force, a God force, a creative energy force that flows into you from the inner dimension. Your doctors, in all of their notice of it, do not know much about it. They know that some have it and some do not. They will say, this one is dead, he has no life force, but they do not understand what it is. That creative life force flows into you for the extension outward toward whatever you are wanting. In other words, that is the process by which your thought brings to you whatever it is you are giving thought to. And so as you are making decisions about what you are wanting, this life force or energy is flowing into you and out of you, attracting whatever it is you are giving your thought to. But when you are not giving any deliberate thought, then that energy is flowing into you but not out of you. And so you have that feeling of sluggishness or lethargy, that flat feeling that you have described. That is the feeling that you get when you are in stagnation. That is the feeling you get when you are not having growth. That is the feeling you get when you are not deliberately setting forth thought.
We live in a nation where almost everyone eats every day and has a place to sleep and has clothes. And almost everyone, what I call, gets by. And I meet people who say, you know, I want enough to get by, but I can't somehow build up my wants or my desire strong enough to bring anything major or special into my life. What would you say to a person in that situation?
The reason that you are not wanting more is because you have convinced yourself that you cannot have more, and you are wanting to avoid the disappointment of wanting and not getting. But you are not receiving what you want, not because you are not wanting it. It is because you are focusing upon the lack of it. And by law of attraction, you are attracting the subject of your thought. As you want something and then you say, but I've wanted it and I did not get it, now your attention is upon the lack of what you want, and by the law you are attracting the lack. And as you are thinking of what you are wanting, you are feeling exhilarated, you are feeling excited, you are feeling positive emotion. But as you are thinking of the lack of what you are wanting, you are feeling negative emotion, you are feeling disappointment. Your disappointment is your guidance system saying to you what you are giving thought to is not what you are wanting. And so we would say, allow yourself to want a little. Put your thoughts upon what you are wanting. Feel the positive emotion that comes forth from wanting. Let the disappointment go away. And in your giving thought to what you are wanting, you will attract it.
You've given Esther and I a process that we've had great results with. And I'd like, if you would, if you would elaborate a little bit on it. And that is what you speak of as prioritizing intentions.
While you do not hold all intentions at any point in time, often you have many intentions that all have to do with this point in time. For example, as you are interacting with your mate, you're wanting clear communication, you're wanting to uplift yourself, and you are wanting to uplift your mate. You may be wanting to influence your mate to the same wanting. You are wanting many things at the same time. You are wanting harmony. It is important for you to identify what things you are wanting most, because as you prioritize, you give your singular attention to what is most important. And as you give your singular attention to it, you attract power unto that which is most important. Let us say that you have begun your day and you have not clearly identified your segments. You have blundered into the day, as most do, moving from one thing to another, buffeted about by the impulses and desires of others or of your old habits. The telephone is ringing, your children are asking for this and that, your mate is asking you questions, and you find yourself not clear about anything but moving about in a day that for most is rather normal. You find yourself involved in a discussion where you have not taken the time to identify what you are wanting, and you find yourself in disagreement with either your children or your mate or with anyone. It matters not who it is. You find warning bells coming forth. There is negative emotion mounting in you for a number of reasons. You are a little bit mad at yourself because you've gotten into this muddle, because you have not intended clearly. But even beyond that, you are upset because you are in disagreement with what the other is intending or with what the other is stating, with what the other is wanting. If you catch yourself in that segment and you say, what is it that I am most wanting right now in this situation? you may recognize that harmony really is your dominant intent, that getting along with your wife or getting along with your child, that having a harmonious relationship is far more important than this insignificant issue. And as you recognize that harmony is what you are most wanting, suddenly you are clear and your negative emotion goes away and you make a statement such as, "Wait, let us talk. I'm not wanting to argue, for you are my best friend. I'm wanting us to have harmony. I'm wanting us to be happy together." Mm-hmm. And as you make that statement, you will disarm the other. You will remind the other that that is the dominant intent of the other also. And now from your new and focused dominant intention, which is harmony, you may take a fresh view at this lesser important subject at hand. Here we will give you a statement that if you will set forth at the beginning of all segments of life experience, it will serve you very well. As I'm entering this segment of life experience, it is my intent to see that which I am wanting to see. And what that will do when you are interacting with others will help you to see that you are wanting harmony, that you are wanting to uplift them, that you are wanting to put across your idea effectively, that you are wanting to stimulate their wanting to the same wanting as your wanting. Mm-hmm. That statement will serve you very well.
How detailed do we have to be as we're intending forward motion? How detailed in the ways or the means or the manifesting?
Detailed enough in your thought of what you are wanting that you bring forth positive emotion about it, but not so detailed that you bring forth negative emotion. As you are intending something vaguely, you will not be specific enough and therefore not powerful enough to bring forth the power of the universe. On the other hand, as you become too specific, that challenges the beliefs that you hold upon that subject, you may find yourself feeling negative. And so we say become specific enough that you bring forth positive emotion, but not so specific that you bring forth negative emotion.
Let's speak in terms of segment intending. It would be very tedious to give our attention to all the small details in each moment. Could we just intend safety, say, the first thing in the morning, and then would that do it for the rest of the day?
It is not necessary that you do it again and again and again. But there is value in reiterating what is most important to you at any point in time. You see, once you have set forth your intent for safety, and you begin feeling safe, now you are at the point of always attracting safety.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that you feel unsafe, that is the time to set forth your reinforcement of safety.
Would segment intending hinder our spontaneity or our ability to react in the moment in any way?
It would hinder your ability to react by default. It would strengthen your ability to react deliberately. Spontaneity is wonderful as long as you are spontaneously attracting what you want. It is not so wonderful when you are spontaneously attracting that which you do not want. We would not replace deliberate creating with spontaneous creation by default at any cost.
Right. Thank you. Would you take a moment here and explain what you call the delicate balance of creating between wanting and believing?
There are two sides to this balance. On one side is the focus of thought that is so clear that it brings forth powerful, positive emotion. On the other side of the balance is the belief or the allowing, the letting it be. That is the delicate balance of the creative process. Because it is a balance does not mean that the wanting and the believing must be equal. There are many things that you are wanting more than you are believing, but in your wanting there is power and so you attract. And there are many things that you are believing that you are not wanting, and in your believing there is power and so you attract. To deliberately create, give thought to what you are wanting, and by law of attraction that thought, that clear and focused thought, will become more and more and more powerful until you will attract into your experience that which you are wanting. As you are giving thought and believing, then you will attract it very quickly. There are those things, however, that you are wanting that you are not yet believing. And so you say, until I modify my beliefs, until I believe that I may have them, I may not. And we say it is possible to bring into your experience that which you really want, even if you are not believing it, if you are wanting it enough. All of you have had those experiences where there was something that you really, really wanted. Mm-hmm. And as you gave thought to it, you attracted it. Just as all of you have had those experiences where you really, really believed something, and even though you did not want it, you attracted it. And so you may apply this balance in any way that you like. For speed, we would encourage you to enhance your wanting. For you are quicker at enhancing your wanting than you are altering your beliefs. For your beliefs have come about very slowly in most cases.
We are physical beings, and we're taught to believe that our work is important to get a return. And you don't mention much about the physical action. How does it fit into your equation?
When you have clearly intended, as you are moving from one segment to the next, your action is but an extension of that thought that has already been offered regarding the subject. And so the ideal situation is to pre-think everything so that when you get there, the present is ready for you. Then your action will not involve so many difficult choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we're considering these choices among a number of different possible actions in order to accomplish a specific result, in other words, how can we decide in that last moment which of these different possible actions would be the most effective to use?
By imagining yourself in the act and noting how you feel as you imagine that action. If you have two choices, envision yourself taking one choice and see how you feel about it. And then envision yourself taking the other choice and see how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. The way you feel will not be clear to you, however, unless you have taken the time to first identify your intentions and put them in order of priority. And once you have done that, then making the decision of what is most appropriate action is a very simple process. You use your guidance system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A person's wanting something right now, and they find themselves getting a little discouraged because what they've been intending isn't there yet. How long should a person expect it to be before they have any signs of success that they could see? And what would be, what you would see, some signs of it, that it is going to happen?
As you have set forth your intent to have something, and you are looking expectantly for it, you will see many signs of it. You will see others who have achieved it, which will stimulate your wanting. You will take more notice of it in many different directions. You will find yourself feeling excited about it often. And as you are feeling good about that which you want, these are signs that what you are wanting is on the way.
Mm-hmm. How can we use this segment intending process in order to accomplish a goal mutually with another person?
By intending to clearly express your wanting so specifically and so vividly that the other's wanting is stimulated. What you are talking about is co-creating. Mm-hmm. And the problem with most co-creating is that you do not clarify what you are wanting, therefore you do not communicate clearly, therefore you are imposing your desire on the other. They are not feeling a part of the creation of it. They are feeling that they are a puppet expected to carry out what you are wanting, but not feeling part of the creating of it. Mm-hmm. If you have used your segment intending properly and you have said, I'm about to have a telephone conversation, or I'm about to have a face-to-face meeting with so-and-so, and it is my intent to bring them clearly to the same wanting that I have regarding this subject, the perfect words will flow forth from you, and you will stimulate their wanting. You have very little power of influence unless you are absolutely clear about what it is that you are wanting. And so segment intending is of great value to one who is wanting to interact with others for the purpose of influencing them.
I recall through the past years, quite often I would go into a situation of interaction that I felt was to be very important, and we would talk back and forth. And then when I left, I thought, gee, I should have said, and I wanted to say, but I didn't. So instead of feeling a sense of accomplishment when it was over, I always felt a sense of frustration. How could I have avoided that?
By identifying, as you are moving into the segment, what you were wanting and putting it in order of priority. You see, the ideal situation when two are coming together is for each to clearly identify what they are wanting. That is the beginning of deliberate co-creating. Each are absolutely clear about what they are wanting and what they are wanting to discuss. And as each communicates clearly with the other, then the two minds coming together will create together the resolution or the solution. There will be co-creating that occurs.
How about if you're interacting with someone that has conflicting wants, and yet you can see there could be some mutually beneficial wants that could be achieved?
By intending, as you are moving into the segment, to focus upon those things which you have in common, your points of harmony, giving very little attention to what you are not agreeing upon, and giving your great attention to the things you do agree upon. That is the resolution in all relationships. The trouble with most of you is that you pick out the one little thing that you do not like and give it your attention, and by law of attraction, you solicit more of it forth.
You've told us many times that we can have it all. Take a situation where a person is wanting prosperity, but they're not wanting to go to work or find a job. How would you suggest they bridge that?
By considering the intentions separately. If they are wanting prosperity, but it is their belief that prosperity comes only through working, then they will not be able to have prosperity because they are not wanting to do the only thing that they believe will bring it forth. But as they consider prosperity singularly, then they will be able to attract it by not coupling it with the other that they are resisting, you see. Mm-hmm. You've come upon something very important, is what we call conflicting intentions or conflicting beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it is a matter of taking your eye off of what is conflicting and putting it upon what you are wanting.
What would you say would cause a person who hasn't found a job after months and months of wanting and trying and looking for a job, and then when they do receive a job that they were wanting, that, say, four or five other good offers would come in all in that same week?
The reason that the job was so long in coming was because rather than focusing upon what they wanted, which was the job, they were focusing upon the lack of the job and pushing it away. Once they broke through and received a job, then they were no longer focused upon the lack of it. Now they began attracting more of what they wanted.
Is that why often when a couple haven't been able to have a child for years, adopt one, and then suddenly the wife is pregnant?
It is the same story, indeed.
Another question. How does competition fit in the picture?
From our perspective in this vast universe in which we are all creating, there truly is not competition, for there is enough abundance on all subjects to satisfy all of us. You put yourselves in a position of competition saying there is only one prize, and that can bring forth a little discomfort, for you are wanting to win, you are not wanting to lose, and often the attention is upon losing rather than upon wanting to win. When you are in that position of competition, the one who wins is always the one who is clearest about his wanting and most expectant of it. It is law. If there is value in competition, it is this. It stimulates the wanting.
Is there any way that a person could strengthen their will so they could get more of what they're wanting and less of what they don't want?
Utilizing the process of segment intending certainly will accomplish that. It is not so much a strengthening of will. In other words, there is not resistance involved as in willpower. Mm-hmm. There is simply giving thought to what is wanted consistently throughout the day so that you do not find yourself swept up by confusion or old habits.
It seems to me that most people, by the time they've reached in our society the age of 25 to 35, they've gone as far as they're going to go as far as development and growth. They kind of have the home they're going to have and the lifestyle they're going to have and the job they're going to have and the beliefs they're going to have and the experiences most of them they're going to have. Do you have any idea what the cause is of that?
It is not so much that they have had all of the experiences that they are going to have. It is that they are no longer attracting new experiences. And in the new experience, there is excitement. In the new, there is more wanting. And so they are, many of them, no longer deliberately setting forth their wanting. They are more or less resigned to what is. Giving attention to what is only attracts more of what is, mm-hmm. while giving attention to what is wanted attracts that. And so there is a sort of complacency that comes about simply because it is not known that you can have or be or do whatever you are wanting. And so the wanting becomes less and less important because you are not understanding the value of it. Most beings stop wanting because they have wanted and not received. But they have not received not because they have not wanted. They have not received because they have given their attention to the lack of what they wanted rather than to what they wanted, you see.
Sure.
And so an understanding of the rules of the game makes the game more fun.
Let's say a person has reached a particular point in life and then they find themselves in what I would call a downward or negative spiral. How could they use segment intending to start that spiral back up again?
Simply by saying, in this segment of life experience, I'm going to think about what I want. For attention to what is wanted will begin the attraction of it.
It seems to be particularly difficult to discard old ideas, beliefs, and old habits. Would you be willing to give us an affirmation that would assist us in avoiding any influence of past experiences and beliefs?
I will think about now. It is not difficult to discard. You are only thinking about one thing at a time, and so if you are thinking about the past, you cannot think about now. So make a decision to be clear about what you are wanting in this segment, and you will not be thinking about the past.
Is it ever okay to state the things we don't want?
Stating what you do not want sometimes can bring you to a clearer picture of what you do want, but it is good to get off the subject quickly of what you are not wanting and onto the subject of what you are wanting.
Do you ever see any value in identifying any specific thought that's brought forth some negative emotion?
There is value in it for this reason. What is most important when you recognize that you are thinking a negative thought is to, in whatever way you can, to stop thinking the negative thought. But if there is a belief within you that is very powerful, then you may find that that negative thought will come up again and again and again, and so you are continually having to divert your thought from that negative thought onto something else. In that case, it is of value to recognize the troublesome thought and modify it by applying new thought to it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, change or mold the conflicting belief into one that is not so conflicting, and then it will not keep coming up to haunt you, so to speak.
If there's someone who knows what we're wanting to accomplish and that it's really far beyond the average, tells us we're not being realistic, how can we avoid being influenced by that?
By having given thought, even before your interaction with that one, about what was important to you, segment intending will be of great value. As others insist that you look at reality, they are influencing you to be rooted to this spot like a tree. As long as you are seeing only what is, you cannot grow beyond it. You must be allowed to see what you are wanting to see if you will ever attract what you are wanting to see. Attention to what is only creates more of what is.
You've said something to the effect that within 60 days we could have everything as we want it to be in our lives. How would we go about doing that?
First, you must recognize that everything that you are living now is a result of thoughts that have been offered by you in the past. Those thoughts have literally invited or set up the circumstances that you are now living. And so as you today begin setting forth your thought of your future, seeing yourself as you are wanting to be, you begin the alignment of those events and circumstances that will please you. As you give thought to your future that may be 10 years, your future that may be 5 years, your future that is 60 days away, you literally begin pre-paving. And then as you move into those moments, as that future becomes your present, you fine-tune by saying, this is what I want now, and all of those thoughts that you have put forth about your future, right down to this moment when you are now intending what action you are wanting to take, they will all fit together to bring you precisely what you are wanting to live. We realize that we have offered a great deal of information here, and if you try to apply it all at once, you will find yourself overwhelmed. The point of this recording is to assist you in understanding the power that you hold in this moment. Power that you may apply to your future or that you may apply to your present. Power that is of not much value as you apply it to your past. And so it is a simple process of day by day recognizing that there are many segments and as you are entering into the segment, to stop and identify what is most important to you, so that by law of attraction, you may attract that unto you for your consideration. The more thought you give to something, the clearer you become. The clearer you become, the more emotional you become, the more power you attract. And so this business of segmented intending is the key.